You really need to know. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you, America. I love you, America. Right? I'm still using you, America. You're getting back on track, America. God is not angry at America. God has used America over the years. God loves America, right? And that's not just being patriotic, right? As some would criticize, right? America was founded on biblical principles, right? Now, we haven't done everything exactly right. Amen. The Indians would say amen, right? But Jesus has been Lord of America since day one. And yes, there's been some drifting here and there, but you know what? God's plan for this nation has never changed. And that is so, when she started singing, I was like, you know what? We need to hear that today on behalf of America. Praise the Lord, right? But I want to look at Acts chapter 10. Let's pray over this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we dedicate this time to you. We receive your blessing on behalf of this nation, Lord, one nation under God. And I read a quote, Lord, as we were preparing for this message last night and looking at some notes of Ronald Reagan, and he said something to the effect of, if we do not remember that we're one nation under God, we'll be one nation gone under. And you know what? That rings out. But I know, Father God, that there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands in this nation that remember and that will not forget our roots in Jesus. And we are standing in faith for this country. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, I wanted to read this to you. It says this: at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. That must have been some kind of angel to get a Italian, you know, Roman centurion stirred up. Right? Amen? Angels are big, man. You get these pictures of angels like the little naked babies, you know, with the wings. That's not what an angel looks like. Amen? An angel walks in the room, there's no doubt that's an angel, right? Amen? They are intimidating and big, and they're here, you know, with a word from God. Or I remember a story in the Word where one angel took out an entire army, right? They're either bringing you good news or bad news. Amen? Depending on which side we're on. Praise the Lord. So he has a vision and distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God." Amen? So just stopping right there, God remembers the prayers, the good deeds, the generosity, right? The roots of this nation. He remembers everything America has done right. Amen? Isn't that the God we serve? We come to him in faith, and we ourselves want to meditate and rehearse all the places we've missed it, and he just doesn't see it. Once you've confessed your sin and repented and God is helping us to live for him, and he'll say, "Steve, I've got this great plan for you." "Yeah, but what about this?" "Steve, I've got this great plan for you." "Yeah, but what about this part of my life?" "Steve, I've got a great plan for you." He doesn't even remember it. Amen? He doesn't recall it. There's a difference between remembering something and recalling something, right? We need to be people who are really good about not recalling stuff, calling stuff back to memory that's already been washed in the blood and, you know, we've been redeemed of it and so forth. And God looks at America and he says, man, I have still got a plan for that place, for those people, that it's going to be touching the world. I don't know that there's any nation on planet Earth that has impacted the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ like America. Amen? That's not to get ourselves a pat on the back and that kind of thing, but America has done some stuff right. Amen? My grandfather said this. My dad told me that my grandfather said this. Steve, if it hadn't have been for the United States, we'd all either be speaking Japanese or German. Right? And that's not a racist remark, right? That's simply saying the Nazis were taking over the planet. Right? Yeah. Amen? And God brought in America and her allies. And that was the arm of God reaching in there. Amen? The Lord has used this nation in a number, and he remembers it. It's a memorial before him. He's used our nation to bring safety to the nation of Israel and Jewish people. And, you know, it's amazing, right? But I want to look at some things here. And I this is a little bit different in terms of the notes and so forth. I just kind of listed out some places that I found these notes on the web. But first of all, it's important for me to remember why there is a Memorial Day, right? Honestly, I've always celebrated Memorial Day, and praise God we got a three-day weekend, but if you'd ask me why, what is, you kind of know it's about the soldiers, it's about what's the details, okay? So I got this off of a website called usmemorialday.org, right? Most of you probably already know this, but it's important to read this publicly, I believe, and have it recorded, and we'll probably do this every year. Amen? Memorial Day, originally called Decoration Day, is a day of remembrance for those who have died in service of the United States of America. Over 24 cities and towns claim to be the birthplace of Memorial Day, right? While Waterloo, New York, was officially declared the birthplace of Memorial Day by President Lyndon Johnson in May 1966, it's difficult to prove conclusively the origins of the day. Regardless of the exact date or location of its origins, one thing is clear. Memorial Day was born out of the Civil War and a desire to honor our dead. It was officially proclaimed on the 5th of May, 1868, by General John Logan, National Commander of the Grand Army of the Republic, in his General Order Number 11. The 30th day of May, 1868, is designed for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land, he proclaimed. The date of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't the anniversary of any particular battle. There must have been a lot of battles back then to have to find a day where there wasn't one. Amen. Civil War, right? And isn't that kind of where our nation is right now? In a civil war? Really a war of ideas and beliefs? Has there ever been a time in history where it's been so divided and so crystal clear, this side or that side? Right? Sheep or goat? Right? Has there ever been a time where it's been so divided that way, right? On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. The first state to officially recognize the holiday was New York. Man, New York needs to get back to being New York, don't you think? Amen. We're praying for them. Praise God. In 1873, by 1890, it was recognized by all the northern states. The South refused because they wanted to honor their dead on separate days all the way until after World War I. Now, I didn't know that. The South would not honor Memorial Day until after World War I because they thought it's all about the, you know, the North, right? When the holiday changed from honoring just those who died fighting in the Civil War to those who died fighting in any war. Amen? Praise God. So this is the origin, in a nutshell, of Memorial Day, right? I also want to read, and I have done this, like I said, for the past few years, But since we're talking about people who lost their lives in wars, I just want to read you the numbers, right? Let's start with the first one, the Revolutionary War. This one had an asterisk by it because they don't know the exact number, but they estimate 25,000 died in the Revolutionary War. The War of 1812, 20,000. The Second Seminole War, 1,500. The Mexican-American War, 13,283. The Civil War, 623,026. That's the most in any war, right? The Indian Wars, this again is an asterisk, they're estimating 919, right? The Spanish-American War, 2,446. The Philippine War, 4,196. The Haitian occupation, 146 soldiers lost their lives. World War I, 116,708. World War II, 407,316. The Korean War, 36,914. The Vietnam War, 58,169. Beirut, 266. The invasion of Grenada, 19. The Gulf War, 269. Missed one. The invasion of Panama, 40. Somalia, 43. Bosnia, 12. The war in Afghanistan, up to present time, 2,227. And the war in Iraq, 4,480. May God bless all of those families that are to this day affected by this, right? Over 1.3 million lives given for our nation up to present day. Amen? This is why we're not ashamed of our freedoms. And there are people out there now that are trying to put pressure on Americans for feeling bad that you got Walmart. You go to Walmart and you got choices. Why? Because 1.3 million people died so that I got choices. I can go to any state I want to in this land without somebody checking me. Well, you ought to feel bad about that. No. 1.3 million people gave their lives so that I can send my kid to school in safety, right? So that I can come to church and worship God without people pointing guns at us and asking why you're doing what you're doing, right? Well, you ought not be, you know, running the heat in your house, and you ought to be doing this and doing that because, you know, the global thing. Well, no. We're Americans here, all right? 1.3 million and counting, by the way. People have given their lives so that we live in a free nation. One nation under God, indivisible. Praise God, right? So these are important things to remember and to honor and to talk about and thank God for. May the Lord comfort and those who've most recently lost loved ones. Over 30,000 members of the United States military have been wounded just in Afghanistan. Almost 500 during the Persian Gulf War, 155,000 in the Vietnam and in the Korean War, 672,000 in World War II, 200,000. That was 200,000 plus in World War I, right? More than 300,000 Confederate soldiers were injured in the Civil War. So we're talking about dismemberments, loss of limbs, you know, loss of mental faculties, beyond, in some ways, some may say worse than death, right? Amen. So we celebrate and honor these people today. Amen. And we mention them. For goodness sakes, we mention them. We remember them. I love that statement. We will never, never forget. Right? And some would go and say, well, these were America's wars. Well, guess what? I'm America. Right? Stop talking about America in the third person. We're Americans. These were our soldiers. Standing up for the rights of people that were in oppression situations and just terrible, awful things. right? These are some of the reasons why God says, I will not forget you, America, and what you've sacrificed, your offerings. Literally, blood, right? Another way that I believe the Lord wants us to look at this today is we're also in a spiritual war in our nation, right? And we don't battle, the Bible says, with flesh and blood, with principalities and powers and the enemy. So we have to resist. The Bible says, be angry and sin not, right? So we don't start, you know, getting all angry and miffed at people and that kind of thing and their ideologies and their, you know, misconceptions and perversions and all this stuff, right? The battle is with the devil. Amen? Christians need to show up and vote. Be prayed up and vote. Don't vote in fear. Don't vote in, you know, whatever your organization says you should vote. Vote what God says to vote. God's into that. Amen? But let's look at some leading causes that we're talking about here, people's lives, right? What is killing Americans today? Amen? Obviously, we've still got some wars going on and so forth, but this is according to this website that I looked at here. I was doing a mortality rate search, right? Now, number of deaths and leading causes of death. Now, this is not a real happy, good-feely kind of service, right? But we're going somewhere with this. Amen? We're a faith church. Jesus is alive. He is Lord. But we need to identify the enemy so that we can fight the enemy. Amen? Leading causes of death. And these are, according to this website, 2013 statistics. But it gives you a general idea, right? Starting at the least one there, suicide. 42,773 people committed suicide in 2013. Amen? Now, that's not acceptable. Amen? As the church, we need to be battling against the spirit of suicide in our nation. Praise God. And that's just one year, right? Nephrotic syndrome and nephrosis, 48,146 people died of that, right? Influenza and pneumonia, 55,227. It sounds again like we're reading about battles here, doesn't it? Thousands of people being, and Christian people, a lot of them probably, right? Believers in Jesus, checking out early, right? Diabetes, 76,488. Alzheimer's disease, 93,541 people died of Alzheimer's in 2013. Stroke, 133,103 people died of stroke in 2013. Accidents, unintentional injuries, right? 136,053 people died of some type of accident in 2013. Chronic lower respiratory disease, 147,101 people. Cancer, okay? 591,699 Americans died of cancer in 2013. Heart disease, number one. Well, not really, but yes, in this statistic. 614,348 people died of some kind of heart complication, right? These are our enemies in America, right? Amen. As the church, we need to identify that. But, you know, one of the, and I've shared this the past few years, one of the most astounding statistics when you look up mortality rates, and it's in comparison with the Nazis and the Holocaust, because I did some research on that too, they really don't know exactly how many people. There are no records of exactly how many people were killed in the Holocaust. They have some estimations of 6 million. That's a lot of people, right? But look at this. In comparison, the abortion numbers. What about abortion? It's amazing to me that abortion is not included in the mortality rates. How Nazi is that? We're not even going to count these people as human beings. Unbelievable. Now see, we can't get angry at the people. We identify our enemy. He is Satan, right? And by the way, if anybody that we know has had an abortion, that there is now no condemnation, right? Receive forgiveness, make Jesus Lord of your life, you got somebody waiting for you in heaven. But there is a spirit of murder on this nation, right? And God is wanting to bring us back. But look at this. Based on 2013, this website that I looked at, right? Abortion facts and so forth, abortion statistics. But here again, they don't have exact numbers because they're not kept apparently or whatever, right? Or they're private, whatever, okay? But it's bizarre to think of this. Based on available state-level data, an estimated 974,000. How many people died of heart disease? Right? How many people died in World War II? Holy smokes. But they don't even count it. I wouldn't want to answer for that one to God, right? Took place in, that's in 2014. Down approximately from 983,000 abortions in 2013 and 1.2 million in 2012. These are estimations, but wow. Okay? Now, we don't say this to bring it heavy. We say this to say, you know what? We got a job to do, church. Amen? And these are very significant numbers, staggering numbers. Staggering numbers. So what do we do, right? I want to read to you a prophetic word here I put from Brother Copeland. He shared this on the America Stands broadcast in 2014. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus as the church, keep our eyes on the Word. But I think of a verse that I remember that says, in the last days, even the elect could be deceived. Even the elect could be deceived. As people in the church, we need to be word people. What's the Word of God say? Keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep it the gospel. I love the scripture that talks about, I think it's Paul talking, and he says, it's the simplicity of the gospel. It's not a complicated thing. Jesus died for me. I believe it. I receive it. I'm going to live for him. Amen. And that's what we preach every week. Praise the Lord, right? But this is the word that Brother Copeland shared, the prophetic word. He says this, I have spoken certain words over this nation. They will come to pass. They are coming to pass now, saith the Lord. And all of the things that Satan has attempted to carry out in order to stop my voice in the earth has come to naught. For I said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all nations, and then the end shall come, and not before. It's coming to pass, and this nation is the cradle of that message. That's a heavy statement right there. Amen? Why is the devil trying to kill America, kill Americans? Because he hates you. You know, he hates this nation. Hates it. Right? Amen? It has come out of this nation. The revelations and changes that have taken place over the years and centuries that have gone by, I've called upon this nation to be my judgment arm. You know, I was so, you know, I don't want to use the word proud, but when I graduated from high school, it was the Gulf War. And even after that, after 9/11, you know, and the way we responded as a nation to terrorism and that just, you know, the whole, everything that was going on in Iraq and just the way we handled that stuff. Yeah, we could have done things probably a little different, whatever. But I'll tell you what, man, that just got me so, it was like, man, I am so pleased to be associated with this nation, to be an American. I'm glad to be paying my taxes and, you know, preaching the gospel and coming to church and supporting our military. just the way that we handled that stuff and some of the music that came out over that time from the country artists and the surge of Go USA after that time. Oh, man, right? We have a God who loves our nation. Amen, amen. So hear my people, he continues, hear my voice. Yes, the door is open. Repent and come through it. For I have a plan. It's the blessing plan. It's far greater than anything you've ever seen before. I have a new birth for this nation. I've planned a nation that right at this moment you really don't have any concept what it's like. For think back to 1770, 1771, 72, 73, and a new nation was being born. But do you think that the men of that hour had any concept of what this nation would look like 100 years from that time? No, they had no idea. It had never happened before. Hear my words, America. I have a new nation in my heart and in my mind, and you don't know what it looks like. The door is open, step through it, and together we will bring a new nation on earth, one nation under God that trusts in God. Amen. I receive that over our nation today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in closing, I want to read to you Ephesians 6. And I think of, you know, I'm not necessarily a history buff, but wasn't it Paul Revere that jumped on the horse and went riding through the town yelling, what did he yell? Two arms? Get your gun! Get your gun! Right? So this is the call to arms right here, right? This is the call to arms by the Holy Spirit to us in this room. And this is spreading, I believe, through all the nation and believers in Jesus. And there's people, he goes on to share further things in that prophetic word about people in other nations that are being stirred to pray for America and lift up America, right? But look at this. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, we don't get bogged down by the seeming tidal wave of all the junk that's going on in our nation. We don't get bogged down by that. Why? Because I'm strong in the Lord. Amen. Right? Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. See, we put on God's armor. We take our stand in faith. We take our stand in prayer. We take our stand wherever God calls us to go, whatever he calls us to do, right? Amen. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our struggle is not against a political party or whoever's in office, right? Or whoever's agenda seems to be out front, right? I even heard a thing about one of the, was it Facebook or Twitter, that the trending things are fixed. That they can fix what's trending. What trending means is what people are talking about. They can put out there what they want you to talk about. Amen. Right? So we don't get all bogged down and depressed and upset about the way that things are being manipulated for a certain point of view, right? We are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So see, we got to be, you know, even if you never served in the military, we're in God's military, right? We're in God's military. We're citizens of the kingdom of God. We're in his army carrying out his orders. We're not here on a pleasure cruise. We're here serving Jesus as commander-in-chief of his army, right? Does a Marine go out there and get downcast because of what he's about to have to do? Well, he might deal with some of that, right? But the point is, I got my orders, right? We're going to do this. I just can't get over how much I love our nation, right? The Marines go out there and they know, you know what? If something goes wrong, I make a radio call and the Air Force has got my back. If the guys try to go to the ocean, I make a phone call and the Navy's got my back, right? And the Army's right here with us. And all of heaven is right here with us, right? We are going to win this thing. Amen? But we got to hang in there for Jesus. Hang in there in faith. Praise the Lord. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, somebody says, you are there. Right? The day of evil is here, right? And you know, on that note, even in 2016, I honestly can't think of another nation I'd rather live in. Amen, right? So we remember to be thankful, don't we? Right? Praise the Lord. Even if they're mocking us and jeering at us and telling us we're haters, I still got a right to say what I'm going to say. Right? Because 1.3 million people died so that I can do that. Hallelujah. Right? That you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Hallelujah. The breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, or some translations say, above all, take the shield of faith. Remember, this is all about Jesus. Jesus has finished the work. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. See, that says this too to me. We got to resist the urge to get into the flesh and fight this thing in the flesh, right? If you get into a war of words with somebody who's on the other side, they got you, right? We are people who love God and love his plan and love them. People who are, Adam, and some will say they're Christians too. I'm a Christian and you're wrong, you're a hater. No. We're on the same team. Jesus is Lord, right? Yeah, then we're on the same team. Let's go. Amen. So we resist the urge to get into these, you know, heated arguments. And that it just goes in circles. Amen. Like I shared, I had somebody attack, I retweeted a Franklin Graham statement this week on, and it went into the Facebook page and somebody attacked it. What could you find on Franklin Graham? You know, okay, I don't have nothing to say to that. That's their issue, right? I'm just going to keep preaching the gospel, living for Jesus, doing what he's called me to do. Amen? And your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Maybe one thing to remember there, too, is whose battle is this really? Yeah. All I got to do is follow my orders. This is God's battle. This is his fight. I'm on his team. I'm not by my own little self, right? No. We're part of a big army, the army of love, army of light. Praise the Lord. And we're taking this nation back for him, right? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. You know what kind of prayers God hears? Prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. You want something done? Pray in faith. Pray what you want. Pray in the Spirit. Pray what God wants you to say, what he wants you to say. Right? So we got to grow up in our prayers. Oh God help, oh God help. Right? No. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that this nation is coming to its knees before Jesus. That the spirit of whatever it is, abortion, the spirit of murder, the spirit of perversion is rebuked from this land in the name of, by the blood of Jesus. That's a prayer God hears. Those are the kind of prayers the angels just light up. Oh man, we got a job to do. Let's do it. And then the devil gets blindsided and stuff starts happening and things start changing. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whatever I speak, words may be given to me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, right? Pray for those in ministry, those who are ministries that are out there that we're supporting and partnering with. We're praying for the body of Christ across the face of the world. The devil would love to shoot holes in ministries, right? So to make them look silly and discredit them. So we pray that God covers them and helps them everything to be right in their ministry, right? Right in the money. I remember Pastor Brad years ago. Three areas the devil will attack a ministry. Money. Ooh. Money, morals, and might. Right? If it's all about you, you gotta have all power, devil's gonna come in, right? If you're not honest and integrous with the money, if you're chasing women, down. Right? So may God keep his ministries honest and clean and pure and right with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've seen some of that over the years where ministries have gone under because of issues like that, right? So we're praying, God, keep us right in your eyes. And guess what? None of us is above that. I can think of some pretty successful ministers over the years that were reaching untold thousands, and something happened, and they're gone, right? So we keep ourselves on our knees before Jesus. We keep ourselves right with him. We're not walking in fear, but we're staying right with God, covering ourselves, right? Amen. Praying for each other. For which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We're standing in faith, standing in Jesus. Let's all stand up right now, and we're just going to close our service today in prayer. Hallelujah. We are armed and dangerous. Armed and dangerous before the devil, right? Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and close our eyes. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just declare that you are our commander in chief today. We bow ourselves before you. We lay our lives out before you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you remember all the good things about this nation, Lord, and you're raising up a people, a mighty army, Lord, across the earth, not just Americans only. But today, Lord, we remember America. We remember those who've lost their lives in battles, those, God, who currently are living with conditions in their health due to battle or some sort of military injury. Or their families are dealing with, I remember the picture I saw on Google Images of the little boy receiving the flag from the Marine for his dad's, you know, his dad obviously was killed. And God, I pray that you comfort them, comfort every spouse, Lord God, that's dealing with that, Lord God. I pray that you bless them and give them peace all the days of their lives, Lord God. And God, I thank you for bringing this nation back to full surrender to Jesus. Just as you shared with us this morning, Lord, this nation is back on track in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare it done. We declare it finished. We thank you for it, Lord God, and we'll celebrate the victory we have in Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say amen. Jesus is Lord. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Amen. There's probably a barbecue happening somewhere, right? Hallelujah. God bless America.